Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Aircoy Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Time now for Soccer City on your home for Louisville City FC, ESPN 680, 105.7, and the ESPN Louisville app. Now here's the latest on Louisville's professional soccer club.
Coming up, Louisville City gave up five goals to one of the three worst teams in the entire USL at home and lost. A shocking loss for the boys in purple, but does it mean anything? Going forward, I will talk Benton off of the ledge in this radio program. Racing Louisville, they got a point from their two-game West Coast road trip last week. Just 1 point out of six that were available, but we will tell you why that actually represented a successful road trip, given the context of those two games. And Racing is filling the fam this weekend. They host Bay FC on Saturday at Lynn Family Stadium, looking to sell the stadium out and set a new attendance record in the process for a game that will be nationally televised on ESPN. And ahead of that game, Racing Louisville midfielder Marissa DeGrande will be our guest here on Soccer City. All that and the U.S. men's national team is in action tonight, taking on Panama in the Copa America. They just kicked off like a minute or two ago, so we'll keep our eye on that game as well over the course of the next hour. Soccer City here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Every Thursday from 6 to 7 o'clock, we talk all things Louisville City and Racing Louisville, your two favorite professional soccer teams here in Derby City. Jeff Milby and Benton Newman, Spencer Brown, our producer as ever. And Benton, I know you're on your toes. We're 3 minutes in to the Copa America game between the U.S. and Panama. Why they're playing it at 6 o'clock on a Thursday, I don't have a clue. Give me another hour or two, CONMEBOL. Come on, before you schedule this thing down in Atlanta. Anyway, I'll have my eye on that. So if I'm distracted, just tap me on the shoulder because I'll be watching this game.
You know, they were looking for that very specific slot when you're getting to the later NBA draft picks and before the debate. It's a very narrow window, but that's where they're targeting.
You know what? And I was just complaining about the debate being at 9 o'clock. I guess I can't complain about a 6 o'clock kickoff as the parent to a 9-month-old because 9 o'clock, can't do it. Way too late for me.
They were doing you a solid.
Right in time. They were trying to do me a solid. So we'll be keeping our eye on that over the next hour.
Oh, I was just pointing because it's on the screen behind me.
Oh, nice. Hey, look, it's Spence.
Got a little meta there, yeah.
Appreciate you, Spence. Way to go, dude. Let's talk about Racing. Let's jump in with Racing because they've got a big weekend here at Lynn Family Stadium. Fill the fam for Racing Louisville against Bay FC. They're the expansion team out of the Bay Area. They play in San Jose. A lot of excitement about this game. It's another opportunity for Racing Louisville to go on national TV. It's going to be a 4 o'clock kick on Saturday afternoon on ESPN. Big boy, adult, fully grown ESPN linear television. And a chance for Racing to show the rest of the league that they're a legitimate team. And for this fan base to show all of America that they are a legit fan base that is behind this team in the National Women's Soccer League. But let's take a step back before we preview that game, Benton, and look at this two-game road trip that Racing is coming off of. We said on this show last week, and maybe the last couple of weeks, as it looks like the U.S. just scored inside the opening 5 minutes of the game, Weston McKinney got a goal. USA! 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 Anyway, it was 1 point out of six for Racing Louisville. They got a tie over the weekend at Angel City. I beg your pardon, at Seattle after losing at Angel City in a 3-2 thriller. What did you make of the road trip at large? What I took from it, Benton, was considering the adversity they faced in the Seattle game, to get a point out of that on the road, you lose a heartbreaker in the 85th minute, giving up a goal for the odd goal in five at Angel City. All in all, considering what they faced over the course of that road trip, a success to get 1 point, even though on this show the last couple of weeks I said they needed to get at least three out of these two games. They didn't do that. They got just one. But still, I think a successful road trip for Racing Louisville.
Yeah, I'd largely agree. I mean, Angel City is closer to them on the table, and going on the road can be difficult. Losing a little bit of a heartbreaker, I mean, is what it is. That's going to happen. Not as worried about that one. The more interesting one for me is the more recent one against Seattle Reign. I walked into that one thinking this is a winnable match. This is something we should be winning, even on the road. They're having a down year. And then look at the 1-1 scoreline. Normally, I might have been disappointed, but how it transpired, I actually, it's a draw that in some ways feels like a win. They faced a lot of adversity, and a Racing team of old probably would have folded under that pressure. They would have been on the opposite end of that. They could have been the one with all the advantage in the world and still found a way to not get all 3 points. Racing, they hung in there despite getting that red card pretty early on, maybe debatable one. And, you know, they find a late equalizer to get 1 point from that. And I'm pretty thrilled about that. You know, I if you told me 1-1
coming into
afterwards,
it.
Yeah, I would have. I don't know that I would have been happy, but
yeah.
Knowing the context, I think, matters a lot. And I think that the team should be feeling good about themselves heading into this Field of Fame match.
Well, let's give the context for anybody that wasn't watching, for anybody who's a casual soccer fan, a casual Racing Louisville fan. Looks like they're going to take the goal away from the U.S., by the way. I mean, goodness, come on.
Well, hold your horses. It's just a check.
You're right. They're just checking. It didn't look like it was
I don't trust
the line
them, so that could be...
Look, Racing goes into this game on the road at Seattle. As you mentioned, Benton, it was a winnable game. Seattle is second from the bottom. It's a brand new Seattle team. They've lost all of their stars, or some of their stars. They still got certainly a bunch of them. But they've lost some of their stars over the last few years when they've been hugely successful, particularly in the regular season. Megan Rapinoe retires. Rose Lavelle moves on in free agency. It's a new-look Seattle team, and they haven't found their feet. Again, down second from the bottom. So coming into that game, you think this is a very winnable game for Racing. And it's a game that Racing needs to win if they're going to be a playoff contender in this league. Then, 10 minutes in, Aaron Wright, the center back for Racing Louisville, gets sent off with a red card for the denial of a goal-scoring opportunity, gives Seattle a penalty kick. They put the penalty kick away, and Racing is going to be down a player for the final 80 minutes plus in this game and down a goal. They somehow survive 80 minutes plus. We get all the way. 6.5 minutes into second half stoppage time, and Racing wins a free kick at midfield. All 9 field players go into the box. Katie Lund, the goalkeeper, comes all the way into the attacking half of the field in the center circle to take this free kick. She lumps it forward, high into the air, into the box, and Jalen Howell heads it down, and Raylan Turner, the rookie out of UCLA, one of these two impact rookies that we've talked so much about, her and Emma Sears have been really, really terrific additions to this Racing Louisville team. Raylan Turner puts her body on the line, takes a shot from the oncoming goalkeeper, is able to flick the ball past the goalkeeper and into the back of the net to tie the game and steal a point on the road for Racing Louisville. That context makes this a successful result for Racing Louisville. They go down a player less than 10 minutes in. They go down a goal on the 10-minute mark. They've got to play the rest of the game at a disadvantage, 10 versus 11, already in a hole. And somehow they find the resilience, they find the grit, the determination, the fight, the heart, whatever word you want to say, whatever word you want to use, they find a way to stay in the game, give themselves a chance to get back in it, and then late, literally maybe 2 minutes before the final whistle was blown, they find a tying goal. And you made the point perfectly, Benton. This is the kind of game that last year's Racing Louisville team, certainly the first two Racing Louisville teams, and frankly, maybe even this Racing Louisville team earlier in the season, there's no chance they come out of here with a result. There's no chance they come out of Seattle before 10,000, I think it was 10,700, so a decent crowd for them. There's no way they come out of that stadium with a point, given the circumstances under which they began the game.
But this team's
close-knit. They've got a strong culture. They've got a resilience, and they found a way. And so, therefore, look, it's a heartbreaking loss at Angel City in the midweek on Wednesday where they give up a goal in the 85th minute. But then on Sunday against Seattle, they had that will to come out of there with something positive, and it keeps them in the playoff race. They remain in eighth place on the back of that result, which is good for a playoff spot in the NWSL. They got the job done. That's all you can say. They got the job done, given huge adversity against them to start the game.
Yeah, traditionally, 1 point on the road isn't considered a bad thing. It's kind of an acceptable result, if you will. And one additional factor that we forgot to mention is that Taylor Flint exited the game midway through, and she's been outstanding this season.
You're right.
So you can't discount that injury loss.
Absolutely
either.
Not. I mean, and that added to the first half felt like what could go wrong did go wrong for Racing Louisville. The red card to Aaron Wright, the penalty on that same play, then Taylor Flint comes in for a ball on a set piece, collides with the goalkeeper, and for all intents and purposes looked like she got knocked out. I mean, she looked the worst for wear on that play. It was down on the ground, clearly in pain, had to be taken out after a lengthy delay. It obviously concern for her going forward because she's been such an impactful player for this team. But you're right, I shouldn't gloss over that fact. That just added to the fact that Racing Louisville was able to find a way. Because not only that, she's one of their key players on set pieces, and they tied the game on a set piece.
Yeah, she's got a lot of height, and it reminded me because Rylan Turner took a bit of a shot on her goal scoring sequence. It looked like she took like a knee from the keeper there. So this team's getting a little banged up, but again, the heart and the resilience that they showed was really inspiring. And you know, it's a nice thing to have that kind of a little bit of that momentum heading into this match against Bay FC, which we've talked about time and time again, the big opportunities, and Racing sure could use a big win here in front of this big crowd and kind of get the 3 points from Bay, a team I think they should be beating.
Yeah, look, and it's another game. You just hit it on the head. It is a game where if this Racing Louisville team is going to be a playoff team this season, these are the kinds of games they need to win. Bay FC, an expansion team. We saw what they did to Utah earlier in the year, another expansion team, right? But Bay FC, an expansion team, below them in the standings right now. As it stands, Bay is in 11th place, albeit that's only 1 point back of Racing Louisville in 8th place. So they're still a very competitive team relative to how Racing Louisville has played. But I think it's safe to say, we said this after the Utah win, it's safe in year four for Racing Louisville to expect that they beat expansion teams in this league where you still have the expansion draft. Expansion teams are still coming in kind of behind the eight ball. In other leagues like MLS, some expansion teams come in, spend a lot of money, make a big splash, sign a bunch of key players, and suddenly are a top team in the league. Look at Atlanta United 5-6 years ago, came into the league and won the league title in year two. Different league in the NWSL. Certainly the San Diego Wave last year were a little bit of an exception to the rule that I'm saying. They obviously came in as a team and early in their history made a big impact, but they splashed a little money as well, signing some big players. But Bay FC, not quite the same situation. They haven't been able to figure it out quite as much as a team like San Diego did over the last couple of seasons. And this is a game that Racing Louisville should win. I think in year four, it's a safe expectation that Racing Louisville can beat expansion teams, especially at home. And it's another test, another chance to prove themselves, not only to this fan base, but to every fan base around the country, because it's going to be on national TV, and it's another opportunity for Racing Louisville's fans to prove that this is a market that will support this team, Benton, because you and I talk about it every week on the show, or at least in some fashion we talk about it a lot, that this Racing Louisville fan base and Racing Louisville in general loves, the NWSL fan across the country loves to drag Racing Louisville through the mud for one reason or another. Chance to prove to everybody around the country that this is a team that has support, this is a team that has a fan base behind them, and Lynn Family Stadium is a difficult environment to come play. And that's what's at stake, one of the many things that's at stake for Racing Louisville on Saturday.
So to kind of to your point there about us being dragged a lot, all three California teams are just 1 point behind us. I sure would like to get all three to kind of keep that gap and maybe keep that entire state out of the playoff picture. That would be pretty nice.
Yes, it would.
Oh, the NWSL front office sure would not like that at all. But
by the way,
I think us bitter racing fans would.
Quick aside, you saw our girl Casey Stoney out in San Diego got kicked to the curb this week. Did you see that?
Oh, no, I missed that. I quit social media. I don't know anything anymore.
Casey Stoney, who fans may remember, came to Lynn Family Stadium and drug the field through the mud, literally the quality of the field through the mud, because Alex Morgan didn't play last year in that matchup. She got fired because Bay FC is one of those teams behind Racing Louisville right now in the standings. They certainly have not lived up to the expectations that they set for themselves. But you're right.
You know what? I should find her email and send her an application to be part of the grounds crew. Yeah. I'm petty like that.
You should do that. You absolutely should do that. But, yeah, you're right. It would be fun as the team from Kentucky that people like to think of as a backwater in the NWSL, racing Louisville, to finish ahead of all three of those California teams, San Diego, Angel City, and Bay FC. Those are the three teams nipping at the heels of racing Louisville. And one of them is coming to Lynn Family Stadium on Saturday, Bay FC. What do you expect to see from the fans? We've had a great season in terms of fan support for racing Louisville this year. We had the record crowd on Thunder Over Louisville Day of 11,300. Last year's Fill the Fam game was the previous record crowd. I think it was 10,200 and change. What kind of number, as a racing Louisville fan watching this, what kind of number would satisfy you to say that, hey, this team has support and the fans are here and the fans showed up in a big way? What are you expecting on Saturday?
Well, for this match, you know, we're at a pretty prime time of the season. Might be a little warm out there, but for all intents and purposes, pretty great weather. You know, the team is doing as well as they have been before. I'd like to see comfortably over 10,000, but even more so than the numbers, I want to see the energy brought. Yes. I want to see the passion, the excitement. Remember the CBS game for Louisville City? That was where we took on Indy 11?
Yeah.
Man, everybody was on their game, that one, fans included, and I want to see that for Racing Louisville, and I think that would really help energize the team and help propel them to maybe a large victory. I think they're already going to win, but this would propel them, take them to the next level. Maybe a nice 4-0, something like that.
Yeah, and that would be the kind of statement that Racing Louisville doesn't need to make, but boy, it would be nice.
I think they need a statement.
Boy, it would be nice. Just for the rest of the league and the rest of the country that watches the NWSL to really announce their presence as a legitimate playoff contender. Because right now, they just remain on the bubble. This Racing Louisville team is eventually going to make the playoffs. I promise. We believe in them, and they are going to make the playoffs. But boy, oh boy, they are dragging their way up these NWSL standings. It's been ninth place all 3 years. They're in eighth place currently, just in the playoff, above the playoff cut line, but only just. And it's a chance to beat one of your prime competition for that playoff spot, yeah, also on Saturday in Bay FC.
That Utah Royal stomping kind of feels like ancient history at this point. I really do think that they need a statement win. They need something more recent that they can latch on to as a huge win for the team, not kind of scraping by with, like, you know, I'm thinking like the Kansas City draw that they got on the road, which was a great draw, especially with how it happened, but they need a big, like, marquee win that they can really build momentum off of.
So that's coming up Saturday at 4:00, racingloufc.com/tickets. Get your tickets. Come out to help Fill the Fam. Bring the energy and the noise for this game on national TV. And coming up next, we're going to talk to one of the players that'll be out there on the field, Marissa DeGrande, one of the newcomers to this Racing Louisville team. She has made a big-time impact in the midfield, particularly over the last 2 or 3 months. She will be our guest here on Soccer City coming up next. They just sent off Tim Weah. They wiped the goal away, and now a red card to the U.S. Oh, my gosh, this is terrible. We're taking a timeout.
You're listening to Soccer City on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, back to the latest on Louisville's professional soccer clubs.
Oh, relief. The U.S. just scored again, and this time it's going to count. They're down a player, but hey, they're up a goal down in Atlanta against Panama and Copa America. Man, the roller coaster of this game has already been incredible 23 minutes in.
I hate to bring this up, but how that one hit like near the top corner of the post reminds me of that first goal against Louisville City. I'm sorry I had to say it.
Well, we'll get there in the third segment for that Rhode Island loss for Louisville City. We're building up, though, to what will hopefully be a Racing Louisville win on Saturday as they host Bay FC before what will hopefully be a record crowd in the Fill the Fam game, nationally televised on ESPN. And here to join us to talk about not only that game but the entire season is one of the newcomers to this Racing Louisville team who has really made a name for herself and become a regular starter for this group over the last couple of months. Marissa DeGrande is our guest. What's going on, Marissa? Thanks for taking the time to chat with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Let's just go straight back to this recent road trip that you guys were on. We were talking about it in the first segment, but that game on Sunday was just wild up in Seattle. You go down a player 10 minutes in. You're down a goal 10 minutes in. Taylor Flint also goes down with an injury in the first half, and it just felt like in that first half for you guys, everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. But somehow you guys find the will to get a late goal 6.5 minutes into second half stoppage time. You get a point at Seattle. Just tell us about what that was like, what that experience was like for you, and then what the reaction from the team was like after the game finished.
Yeah, absolutely. What you said, it was a crazy game. Pretty much everything that you don't want to happen could have happened in that game. But it was, there was something in all of us that we knew we just needed one moment and one chance, whether that was a set piece or a run of play, and we would score. And it happened, and we literally held that belief on until the last whistle. And I think it just shows, you know, our fight and our mentality. And I'm really, really proud of the group to get that point on the road after a 3-game week.
Now, in the days following, after you guys have kind of broken things down and got to review it even further, I mean, do you guys kind of feel the sense of, I guess, positivity and optimism heading into the Bay match, I guess, coming off of that a lot of adversity you guys faced?
Yeah, definitely. You know, looking back at the game, you know, overall, there were good moments in it, even being down to 10 players. And now we take that and go into Saturday back at home finally, like you said, hopefully in front of a record-breaking crowd, and our last game before the Olympic break, and or last game at home before the Olympic break, and just trying to get 3 points.
You mentioned a moment ago about this kind of self-belief in the team, that you guys knew that if you just had one opportunity, one chance, you could get something back in the game and come out of there with some kind of result. Over the last couple of seasons on this show, we've talked a lot about this team, this Racing Louisville team, as a group of players being very close-knit, the culture being very strong. And for you, this is your first year with this team, but seemingly there is some kind of sense of belief within the group. So just where does that come from for you guys to have that kind of game where, again, just everything went wrong, but you guys, like you said, just seemed to believe in yourselves and knew that something might be able to go your way over the long term?
Yeah, I think there's just a great culture here, and I think a lot of that starts with the players that we have in the locker room and instilling that in new players. And it's so easy to kind of believe that when you have people showing up every single day, doing everything that they can to better themselves and to better this team. So it's definitely a cultural thing, I'd say. And I think it's something that we collectively have all bought into.
So we're about at the midway point of this season, and this is your coach Bev Yanez's first season in charge. I'm kind of curious from your perspective how she has evolved as a coach and kind of grown into her role.
Yeah, Bev's been absolutely amazing. The entire coaching staff has been absolutely amazing. I think Bev specifically, having experience in this league is so beneficial, and she really just understands the day in and day out of what it takes to play at this level. And it's been wonderful working with her and with the entire coaching staff. And I think we've grown a lot as a team, and kudos to them, because I think a lot of it is, you know, it starts with them. So it's been really fun. It's been really fun to see like her evolving from, you know, player to assistant coach to now to head coach.
We're talking with Marissa DeGrande of Racing Louisville ahead of their game on Saturday afternoon, 4 o'clock at home at Lynn Family Stadium against Bay FC in a nationally televised game on ESPN. The Phil the Fam game, hoping for a big crowd once again in Butchertown. And for you, Marissa, talking about people growing into their roles, this season for you, you started out on the outside looking in on the starting lineup. The first 3 appearances you had for the team were off the bench, but then it's been 8 consecutive starts for you. So just tell us about how you have grown into this team and become a key cog. Obviously, you've had a great career to this point and been a regular player for all the teams that you've played with up until joining Racing Louisville in the offseason. But this year, you started out of the starting lineup, and now you've earned that starting role. So tell us how that came about for you.
Yeah, I think just coming in, it was just getting used to everything. New coach, new teammates, new system and everything. So it just took, a little bit to get everything kind of, situated. And once it did, it just kind of started to calm down a little bit. It's whatever role I'm in, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, and I want to be the best teammate that I possibly can be. And it's been fun, the past couple of games, whenever you're able to step on the field, that you take it with such pride and an honor, and you just have to compete and show up every single day. So it's been fun. It's been great.
Now, looking forward to this weekend against Bay FC, what is the feeling around the team been like? What is your guys' confidence level after kind of studying film on them? Last time an expansion team came into Lynn Family Stadium, you guys put up a couple numbers on them. Any chance of a repeat of that?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. That's what we're hoping for. It's obviously first time playing them, so we just have film to kind of go off of. But again, I think something that's really special about this group is at the end of the day, we're going to focus on ourselves and what we need to do. So we obviously, we scout teams and their threats, but we're also looking at what we can do to exploit different things. So a lot of this week, again, is just, recapping Seattle and now moving forward to Bay and what we can do to be dangerous in the game.
And so much about this game, the Phil the Fam game, it's happened over the last, three seasons, right, Benton, I think, that they've done it with both the men at Lou City and women Racing Louisville. So much of the conversation around this game is, hey, trying to get a record crowd, trying to get 10,000-plus fans down at Lynn Family Stadium, you want to have a great crowd for, the national TV audience. But for you guys down on the field, it's got to make a difference, right, when you have those big numbers of fans backing you at home. I mean, you go on the road like we just saw at Angel City for you guys out in Los Angeles last week. They have a great crowd, a great attendance number week in and week out on average for them. Obviously, that's an intimidating atmosphere. Other places across the league like Portland and Seattle had a great crowd on Sunday as well. So what does it mean for you guys to come home? For anybody out there listening that's maybe on the fence about coming out to this game on Saturday, what would you say to them as to what it means for you guys on the field when you have a big number of fans behind you?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's huge. It makes so much of a difference. At the end of the day, we play this game because we love it. But at the end of the day, we want to play for this city and we want to put, a good performance out there for our fans. And, the more that we have, it just makes it so much more fun, hearing them cheer for us for 90 plus minutes. It just gives us that extra push and that extra energy to keep going, to make that last sprint. So it means the world of difference when we have a lot of fans in the stands. So if you're listening to this, please come out. I promise you will enjoy it, and I promise you will see a great performance, and we will give you everything that we have.
And I think you used a phrase there that a lot of fans will love to hear, and you used it after the Seattle game. There was an Instagram post that I'm looking at that had a quote from you about, we want to fight for the club, we want to fight for the city. And that's something that I think a lot of people out there listening will want to get behind. So not only come out, we're encouraging you to come out and be loud, be energetic, be into the game, make a difference. To try and propel you guys forward on Saturday. So, Marissa, really appreciate your time. Good luck Saturday. Good luck the rest of the year. It's been a joy watching you out there this season, coming into Racing Louisville. And we really appreciate you taking some time to chat with us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That's Marissa DeGrande of Racing Louisville, ahead of the Phil the Fan game on Saturday, 4 o'clock against Bay FC. RacingLouFC.com/tickets, trying to set another record crowd once again at Lynn Family Stadium. Should be a fun day, Ben.
You know, when Marissa invited everybody out, it got me thinking, have you ever encountered anybody that had attended their first match at Lynn Family Stadium and did not have a great time?
No, that's a great
point. I can
point.
Legitimately that's say that's not been it, and I actively recruit and bring friends all the time, and everybody's had an absolute blast. So, well, like, I feel a fan one has to be a pretty, like, primo opportunity to make your first match if you've not been.
Yeah, and again, the atmosphere should be strong, and it is as good of a chance as any to see Racing Louisville put up a great performance against a team. It's a very winnable game for them. It's a game that they should win. It's a game against one of their prime competition for that final playoff spot, Bay FC. So a lot on the line.
The stars are aligned.
Right, a lot on the line on Saturday in the standings. And so it's going to be a fun game. If you like sports with high stakes, Saturday is that kind of game for you. It's going to have high stakes on national TV with a playoff spot potentially on the line. I will counter your argument briefly as the tease to the next segment. Maybe if your first game at Lynn Family Stadium was this most recent Saturday when you saw Louisville City play Rhode Island, you might not have come away from that game amused and happy.
I've already wiped that one from my memory. I don't even know what we're talking about.
Well, we're going to have to unearth those memories because we're going back into that game with Louisville City and also going to look ahead. Does it mean a lot that they lost 5-2 at home to Rhode Island? And oh, by the way, the U.S. gave up a goal while we were having this conversation with Marissa DeGrande. Panama tied it. Oh, I can't take it anymore.
City, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, back to the latest on Louisville's professional soccer club.
We got like 6 minutes to go in the first half for the U.S. and Panama in this Copa America game that we got our eyes on. Man, this has been a wild game. We had a red card to the U.S. We had a goal scored by the U.S. in the opening 5 minutes that got disallowed. Then a red card to the U.S. Then they took the lead down a player. Then Panama tied it. Now they're trying to get a penalty kick. That's a penalty, ref! Pulisic was taken down. Oh, international soccer.
You know what you should do? You should just be a club over country guy like me and not really care what the U.S. does.
I can't do that, man. I got the national anthem pouring out of my heart.
Mine will be on the 4th, but for now it's purple.
Well, your purple heart was probably crying quite a bit or bleeding quite a bit.
We were standing
Saturday
next to each other, and you could see me fall apart.
You and I had the call on Saturday here on ESPN 680 and 105.7 for Louisville City's disaster. I think it's fair to call it a disaster. They lost at home to one of the bottom three teams in the league, Rhode Island FC. We were talking about Bay for the NWSL for Racing. They're an expansion team. Lou City faced an expansion team on Saturday. Rhode Island, they had won once all season, one time. They had 9 ties, 1 win all season long. And they come into Lynn Family Stadium for the first time ever and not only beat Louisville City, but embarrass Louisville City. They dropped 5 goals on Louisville City. This has been a season where, Benton, we expect Lou City to score 5 goals at Lynn Family Stadium. Well, we got 5, just wasn't from the right team. Rhode Island came in, scored banger after banger after banger, and came out of there with 3 points. So I say to you, is it a big deal that Louisville City lost at home to Rhode Island, or is it just a blip on the radar? Ho-hum, we move on. This team's still in first place. No problem at all. Everything's okay.
I'll get there, but I feel like we need to throw out some analogies for people who might not comprehend the magnitude of what we saw. This would be something like, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs losing to Notre Dame in football, right?
Notre Dame?
Yeah, picked an upper college team, not like top, something like that. You know,
how about just the Jets? Let's just call it the Jets. It'd be like if the Chiefs lost to the Jets at home.
I'm here for some Jets slander. But no, this is like the Yankees losing to the Florence Y'all. Like, it's just like there's a big gap.
I don't know if it's that big, but I hear your point.
I just wanted to really say the Florence Y'all.
Yeah, fair enough.
But no, I mean, they're not.
It would be like the U.S. losing to Panama in this Copa America game. Come on, U.S. Go ahead, Ben.
I can't with you and the game on in the background. But no, I do want to bring things back because I do try to be glass half full. And I was even saying this on the radio before the match, that Rhode Island FC is better than their table standing. Not beating Louisville City 5-2 better, but better nonetheless. their head coach, Kano Smith, he's a former MLS player. He was the assistant for the Birmingham Legion. He's put together a pretty solid squad. And while they don't have the points to reflect that, if you really kind of dig into their situation, they've got a lot of draws. We know how frustrating that is racing Louisville fans. But how I read that is that this is a team that can hang in there. They can scrape out some results. And in year one, that is very hard to do. So I think they deserve a lot of credit. In terms of what happened in this one, I mean, part of this extreme scoreline is the team decided to really go for it in the latter half of the game, and it cost them two, maybe three goals there. It wouldn't have been that extreme if they took maybe a more conservative approach. While that obviously didn't pan out, I do have a lot of respect for that decision. Coach Danny Cruz put a lot of faith in his team and truly believed they could get the job done, right? Conceding five goals looks poorly upon him, and so it wasn't a decision he was going to take lightly. So I do give him credit for that. However, Rhode Island just had a good game plan. We talked a little bit about this on the broadcast, but unlike most other teams that have come to Lynn Family Stadium, they were not afraid to use the width of the pitch. And usually this has kind of been space that was reserved for Louisville City only. Think of those lanes on the highway where you can only have ride in at certain hours of the day or a certain number of passengers. That was Louisville City space. Nobody else was allowed there or didn't know how to use it correctly. Rhode Island did that, and also there's always a little bit of gamesmanship in all of the games. I think Rhode Island had a little bit of a strategy there to rattle the Louisville City players, get under their skins a little bit, not over the top, about to turn into a brawl, but just enough between some of these factors between their tactical setup, using the width of the field, and some of this little tomfoolery, which created just enough of a gap for them to get the job done. And while, again, looking at the scoreline, you would assume that Louisville City played bad. I don't think they played bad. They just didn't play great, if that makes sense.
Let's go here. Let's shift the conversation slightly. At what point did you think Louisville City was going to lose this game? Because I thought they're down two goals at halftime. I still fully expected them to come back and win the game in the second half. I probably thought they were even going to win the game even after they went down three when J.J. Williams scored in the 62nd minute, or 67th minute, rather. At least at that point, I thought they had a great chance to come out with a point and tie it and come out with a 3-3 game. I mean, just that's how great this Louisville City team has been this year. That's how good they've been at home specifically. This was their first loss at home all season, by the way, regardless of the competition, whether it's U.S. Open Cup or regular season USL Championship games. They had played eight games. They had won all eight prior to this one, seven of them in the regular season. When did you think that Rhode Island actually had a chance to win this?
I was probably really entertaining the idea at halftime, but by the time the third goal went in, I'm like, that is a steep hill to climb even for Louisville City. It's not like they have a full 90 minutes to find three goals here. They have the remaining 20-some-odd minutes. So by that point, I was really accepting reality, and then things kind of just escalated from there. I mean, Louisville City was creating chances. They were just getting a little bit unlucky. I keep replaying in my mind Jorge Gonzalez hitting right off the post. That was just really kind of emblematic of their performance. They weren't bad, but they weren't great.
Yeah, it's really, if you look at the numbers, I think if you're a Louisville City fan, that is where you draw your solace from. You're not concerned based on the performance and looking at the numbers. And to the point you made earlier, Danny Cruz admitted this in the post game, especially after that third goal. Lou City started pushing numbers forward high up the field because they had to try and get back into the game. And then twice, Rhode Island hit them on the counter. Both goals in stoppage time, by the way. Noah Fewson in the 91st minute and then Isaac Ongking in the 96th minute. So two goals in stoppage time. There were three goals total in stoppage time. Jake Morris scored for Lou City, by the way, in the 95th minute. It was just a wild close to the game in terms of goal scoring. But the stats are just wild, considering Louisville City lost this game. 29 shots for Lou City, 11 total for Rhode Island. 10 of Lou City's shots were on target, 6 for Rhode Island were on target. Lou City, the expected goals number, we mentioned it on the broadcast on Saturday, it was 2.5 expected goals for Louisville City and less than 1 expected goal for Rhode Island.
It was 2.8, almost 2.9. Yeah, you're right. I almost had a stroke when I saw that number. Yeah. I'm like, are you kidding me? You play this match another 100 times and Rhode Island doesn't win any
no
of
chance.
Them. It's just like looking at from
at
a purely numbers.
Two. Maybe they win one like 1-0 or something. But no, there's, you know, there, if you played it 100 times, there is no chance that Rhode Island scores 5 goals again.
To be honest, that's kind of the beautiful thing about soccer is you can get these weird sort of situations like this where one team is doing all the right things and getting all the positive numbers that usually lead to success, yet they do not find the victory. This is one of those situations. And it's going to be memorable for all the wrong reasons, you know, and I drew the analogy on air. It very like had shades of Monterey Bay from 2 years ago.
Yeah,
it was like
very
early in the season. Monterey Bay was the brand new team, came to Lynn Family Stadium for the first time. They were just frankly a garbage team up until that point, and they scraped out a 2-0 win, and it was not pretty in the post game interview. Not happy.
But be honest though, this one raised more alarm bells than that Monterey win for Monterey, because they gave up 5 goals in this game. How many times have we seen Louisville City give up 5 goals at home? It's you can count it on one hand, I'm certain.
Yeah,
over their history.
It's not been recent. This is very fluky. It's a record you would not have expected this 24 team to have set.
But short answer, quick answer here. Are you concerned by the loss?
Not at all.
I'm not either. It was such a fluky game, such a bizarre game. The way it played out, the goals for Rhode Island were superb. The first goal you mentioned earlier in the show. Clay Hallstatt hit it from, 28 yards away? And it was an absolute banger. Ripped it off the post into the back of the net.
Nobody could have done anything about that at all. You just have to shake your head, clap, props to you. That's a see on SportsCenter.
The second goal from Quisera, also a really, really good goal. Not quite as highlight reel worthy, but the fact that he got into the box and was able to slot it through a eye of the needle kind of ball to get it past Damian Lost in that crowd from that tight angle. To make it 2-0. And then after that, you kind of throw your cards up in the air and let them fall where they may. You throw your chips out in the middle of the table and let them fall where they may if you're Danny Cruz. You got to push numbers forward, and it's just unfortunate from Louisville City's point of view that Rhode Island took advantage of it on the break. But Louisville City created a ton of chances. Could they have been more clinical in front of goal? Yeah. You mentioned Jorge Gonzalez had one off the post. That one looms large. Are there questions? We talked about it after the game on the post-game show on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Are there questions about Adrian Perez being out of the lineup? I think it's a fair question to ask. Mm-hmm. Now that he's injured and going to be injured for a few months, we expect a longer-term injury is what it's been called. Is that going to be an issue for Louisville City in the attack, in the goal scoring department, because he's been so important to this team? I think it's a fair question to ask. But on the whole, this is a game that if they played it the exact same way, like we just mentioned, Lou City is going to win the vast majority of these games if they played it just like that against Rhode Island. So for that reason, I am also not concerned about this loss going forward.
You mentioned that second goal, and I want to talk about the aftermath of that. But before we do that, I'm going to go a little bit extreme here. You might not like this take here, but I almost think maybe this big loss was a good thing. Now, hear me out. This team has been on cruise control. That was an unintentional pun, but they've been cruise
control.
C-R-U-Z
control.
Yeah, you can spell it however you want. They've been just marching through this league, just devouring opponents at home, just absolutely obliterating them. Aside from that, a late goal against Tampa at Tampa, and then losing early on to Charleston in a game which the second half they very much rebounded and kind of built a lot of optimism.
Both were 3-2 losses on the road, right?
Yeah.
Really close, really competitive, heartbreaking kind of losses.
They have just kind of been unstoppable juggernauts, and at some point, there has to be some sort of malaise that sets in. For even the most dialed in of the players, you have to think to some extent there might be a little bit too much comfort, and maybe the discomfort of knowing that they're human and having some sort of, frankly, a little bit of an embarrassing loss might be the fire they need to spur them through the second half of the campaign. I don't want this team getting laxed. And if a big loss like this kind of really reinvigorates a fire under them to continue on the warpath through and into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
We could look back at it positively. On that note, just quickly, two things I'll say before I'll turn it back to you, because you've got to take about the fans and the interaction between Rhode Island and the fans. One of the silver linings of this loss not only could it be a wake-up call for Louisville City, but it's fortunate that Charleston hasn't won for five consecutive games, believe that or not. Charleston is winless over their last five. They drew their game over the weekend, so the gap at the top of the standings, Lou City is still ahead of Charleston by 5 points in the standings, right? Positive that if they're going to ship five goals at home and lose to one of the worst teams in the league, at least their primary competition for the regular season title is not playing well right now. And Indy also one of the teams that they are battling for that top overall spot. They're 6 points clear of Indy because they lost, surprisingly, against Orange County over the weekend. That was an 8-game winning streak for Indy that was snapped against Orange County on Saturday. So the two teams that are hot on the heels of Louisville City, neither of them won over the weekend. So they're still safe at the top of the standings. The other thing I'll say, and this will tie in nicely to what you were about to talk about, I think, I will not soon forget. You and I were sitting in the press box in the commentary booth watching this game. Directly to our right were the Rhode Island support coaches, like their analysts and whoever
else. Oh, he had the magnetic board and everything.
Yo, they were going nuts in this game. They went berserk in that box next to us up in the press box. And if I'm a Louisville City person, I would love to have that memory born into the minds of the Louisville City players as that little extra edge of motivation. If there's a day where they show up to work and just don't have their heart in it, we all have those days, right? It's a Wednesday, you don't feel like coming into work, you don't want to go through the paces, you don't want to do it. Just that little bit of motivation is what they would need because, man, they were going nuts. I understand it. It's the second win they've ever had in their season's history, in their team history, and it's on the road at Lynn Family Stadium against the number one team in the league. It's a great win for Rhode Island, but, I mean, goodness, they lost their minds next to us in the booth.
I won't lie. I think it was after the fourth goal. I looked over, and me and one of the guys like made eye contact. I gave him a thumbs up, like, hey, GG. You guys won. Like, really, like, hey, enjoy this. Like, soak it up.
What can you do?
Yeah, but we'll get them next time.
But that ties into what you wanted to go on a tangent about these Rhode Island players getting into it with some of the Louisville City fans, correct? You mentioned it on the broadcast briefly.
I did because I saw it happen in real time. After that second goal, one of the players goes marching up into the waterfront end, Scouse's house as it's referred to. And, you know, it's hard to tell from our spot, but I presumed he was probably doing a little bit of jawling. But the thing is that it was only children in front of him. He was doing it to kids.
In
what scenario is it like an adult athlete player like mouthing off to children a good look? There are zero situations where that's a good look.
Here's the scenario where they're jawing off the children. They've won once in their entire history, and they're winning at Louisville City. They would jaw to anybody that was in front of them. But you know what? You know what? I'm here for it. I love it. I want it. Like we talked about with Charleston last year, with Ben Pearman, their head coach. A little John, it makes me happy. Makes me happy. Makes my heart warm.
Hey, look, it's.
I'm ready for the next time Rhode Island comes to Lynn Family Stadium. It'll be probably next year when they're still going to be a terrible team because Lord knows they're not making the playoffs, Rhode Island. But give it to me. I'm ready for it. I'm looking forward to that next trip to Lynn Family Stadium because I want Louisville City's fans to give it to Rhode Island the way that Rhode Island players gave it to the Lou City fans.
I'm fine with that. If it was a normal, like, Scouse's house sort of crew, like, they would have understood. They're adults. Like, they get it. They're like, you win some, you lose some. But these are children. Like,
Not children.
You gotta let that water go to the bridge. That is just not a good look. But I will say, my good buddy, former host of the show,
right,
Zach Allen Kelly, does the Vamos Marados podcast for us on the State of Louisville Network. He does a lot of film photography on the side, and on his Instagram, he posted some pictures he got in that encounter, because apparently when you're a photographer, you're completely invisible, because I had no idea he was quite literally in the middle of that interaction. And he got some great pictures of not only the fans right there, but also of the players. And I hate to admit this, but man, that shot, that close-up headshot he got of the Rhode Island players at that moment was pretty spectacular. Too bad it was for the wrong team, but he did a good job with that shot and capturing that moment.
Zach W. Allen on Instagram is where you can find those
shots.
Hey, you
did a better job plugging it than I did.
Well, I'm just trying to come to your aid here. I'm just trying to support you as best I can.
I don't have social media on my phone anymore. I'm an old person.
All right, quickly. We've got like 2 minutes. Quickly, it's Lou City on the road at Birmingham this weekend. Coming off of that shocking loss at home, what are you feeling? What are you expecting for this game?
Birmingham can be a tough opponent for Louisville City. I'm recalling, what was it, last season or season or two, we went there and just laid an absolute egg, real hot, and stuff like that. That was one of those matches that stood out to Coach Cruz on the mentality side of things.
I think that game is a reason that a number of guys on last year's team aren't around anymore.
Honestly, that was one of the first like big moments I remember him talking about. He's always talked about mentality, but it really kind of came up in that one. I mean, they're in-conference opponent. We faced them a number of times. The Legion is looking as good as they really ever have. I mean, it could be a tough encounter, but again, this the team that we know here is phenomenal, and regardless of the situation, should be winning. This is an outstanding opportunity for them to channel the frustration from this Rhode Island loss into a positive result here. However, if they aren't able to get a win, I think you know, they're going to open themselves up for a little bit more criticism and questions. And, you know, I imagine there would be some frustration there. But I can't imagine that this team isn't already kind of dialed in and locked into the next match. They've been very focused this season in a way that not that the other teams of years past haven't, but this team is on just a different level in pretty much every front.
This team has come to play every night, bar Saturday.
As the kids say, built different.
Yeah, they do seem to be built different. By the way, Birmingham won last night on national TV, come from behind on the road over Detroit, and they're a good team right in the thick of the playoff hunt.
Oh, well, always love me a Detroit loss.
It's gonna be a difficult outing for Louisville City. It's at 7:30 on Saturday night. You can hear us beginning at 7:15 on ESPN 680 and 105.7. It's me and Benton again on the call for that game. But hopefully you're listening to it on your way home from Lynn Family Stadium, because we want you out there for Phil the Fam for Racing Louisville. RacingLouFC.com/tickets as they take on Bay FC on ESPN. Going to be a fun Saturday evening of soccer. Hopefully 6 points out of six for both teams. But on that Lou City game at Birmingham, I feel like that's one, if they get a point on the road, you got to be satisfied. Should be a lot of fun. Yeah. The U.S. is tied at one with Panama. 45 minutes to go. Come on, U.S.!
Fill the fan, people.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.